read her Bible, yeah. All right? But in Matthew chapter number 15, where I'm going to be at this morning, one of the places, since Brother Tim not here, I'll say this, we'll springboard from there, all right? All right? You can tell I've listened a lot to him, right? I pray for him. That bothers, you know, it bothers me, and I don't have the, I just need to pray more and quit worrying and just pray. Amen. Verse number 21 of Matthew, the Syrophoenician woman's daughter is the way that Scofield has it in my Bible as a title. I'm not giving any credit to Scofield. But she was healed. Amen. So let's stand and honor God's word. Bible says in verse number 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre, and I call it Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. So came out of that same area, same region, if I get to studying that right. And she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, with a demon. Now notice how that the Lord, I guess you could say, breaks all the rules of a soul winner. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Well, not too many people would say that. Truth, Lord. Look at the test he's putting her through. Yeah. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. I'd like for you to look at that word this morning, great. Mm-hmm. Means mega. Mm-hmm. That's about as contemporary as I get right there. Means mega. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour right there. Father, we thank you for your word. We lift up Brother Tim to you. Lord, we know he's in good hands. And God, we pray for him. Lord, I pray that, Lord, in my spirit, throughout the coming days, and upon my mind, that I'll meditate upon him and pray for him, no matter where I'm at. God, I pray for this church. I love this church. I love the pastor of this church. Lord, I'm getting to love Brother White. Lord, not just because Brother Ed loves him, but because he loves the Word and he loves you. And so, Lord, I pray you bless him as he not just fills in, but Lord, it was meant to be this way. Amen. Lord, you know all things. Lord, for his brother, I'm glad he got to come. For Brother Al that's on his way. For Brother Shane who has already preached. God, I pray, God, that you'll just might bless. God, that folks like Brother Ed said a while ago might hear and obey. God, give them a hearing ear, a seeing eye, and a believing heart. Amen. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. 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 Boy, them things taste something else, don't they? Huh? I need to rinse, you know. Amen. Well, in what about that? I like that. I love this story, this scripture. I like anything that Jesus does. He does it in a fashion nobody else does it. Amen. And he does it complete. A lot of times, I don't know about you, Brother Ed, but sometimes when folk get saved, I wonder if it's complete. You know what I'm saying? But when he does it, I know it was complete. And so he gives us this example in the Bible. A lot to look at here, and I know I'm not limited, but I don't want to just kind of hurry through it, and I'm not going to take too long. I pray, Lord, give me the right things to say. I like the word, as I pointed out, great is thy faith. And if you flip over with me to the left, you'll see in Matthew chapter number 8, there was another mention of a great faith. And he says in chapter 8, in verse number 10, about the centurion, he says, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And then if you think about it, and I hope that you do, that both of these were not of the Jews. They were not Jews. They were of the Gentile belief, I guess you could say, or of the Gentile race. They were both kind of outside the covenant. They both, I believe, experienced saving faith. If you look into the Bible, you'll see a lot of things about faith. There's a point there where Jesus says to the disciples that they have little faith. And little faith meaning this, they should have had greater faith because of what they saw, because of what they heard, because of what they were around. They should have had great faith. They should have had mega faith. But they didn't have mega faith. They had little faith. And we see that this woman had mega faith. However, she didn't have a lot of content. She wasn't around probably as much as what maybe even the Jewish people back in Galilee, because we see Jesus had just come from Galilee. And now he's journeying up into an area of Tyre and Sidon. And if I'm not mistaken, and I hope I'm not, but that is a kind of a mountainous region. From what I could gather out of it, kind of I think modern day Lebanon. It's up in the north, and it's almost, as he says, kind of coming out of there. He said he departed there. He went thence, and he's coming out of Galilee and departing to the coast. And if I study that right, it could very well be regions. And then if I was looking also, that there's a time, I think I read in the book of Mark, where he goes on through there, and so I'm saying he just didn't stay on the outskirts of this Gentile land. He kind of went in the midst of it, you know. And as I'm reading that, I believe this. I believe that the customs and the I guess I could say religion, or some of the things, you know, that back in the land of Israel, or back there where some of the customs were, I guess, you know, a little bit more strict. They didn't have what those Jews had. And so they wasn't accustomed to some of the things they were accustomed to, I guess you could say. And, but you know, God loves everybody. Amen. And really, I know that Jesus had his eye on this woman. Now don't, you know, I know that. But, as he begins the journey and is on his way, we know that there's a little faith, there's a mega faith, there's weak faith, there's bold faith. The Bible talks about steadfast faith, unfeigned faith, strong faith, abiding faith, continuing faith, obedient faith, and there's a common faith. And I didn't even mention all of the faiths. Because I run out of room, I just wrote down some of them, because I just want to deal with this mega faith. And Jesus called it mega faith. He called it great faith there. Now, if you'll turn with me, I'm going to get going here in a minute, but if you turn with me in Mark chapter number 7, you'll see another portion of this repeated of course, but a little bit different in the Synoptic Gospels, seen a little bit different. In verse number 24, let's get a little idea of how John Mark wrote it. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into the house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. Seems like there's an emphasis on why Jesus came here. Y'all follow me? You see, there's a reason why that he left where he left at to get where he's at now. There was a purpose to where he was going. The Bible says that a certain woman, I like that, even though it's italicized, but I like him bringing it out. A certain woman whose young daughter, and you don't read that before. This is a young daughter. This is not an older daughter. This is a little, a child, okay? And if you wanted to stop and meditate on that a little bit, I guess you could say this. Even demons enter into young people. If you don't believe me, come back to school with me, all right? So there is a demon-possessed little girl, and her mother is concerned about her. Now, the Bible says that she had an unclean spirit, and this woman had heard of him. I like that. And came and fell at his feet. And the woman, now listen, she was Greek. She was a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him and would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. Let them first be filled. It's not meet to take the children's bread, cast it to the dogs. She answered and said, again, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil's gone out of you, daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laying there upon the bed or laid upon the bed. Right. Now, I'm trying to get you to see that Jesus is journeying from a place where there was a lot of politics going on. Yes. I think he's about a year away from the cross. But there's about there's so much politics in the area of where he's used to hanging out, put it in modern terms. And the political issue is no doubt they want to make him king. I mean, you know, he can't get away from the politics of them wanting him to be king, so that everybody so that they could, I guess, revolt. And they're kind of tired of being under bondage, you know. And so if we can just get him in and then we can get out of this. And, you know, there was a lot of other things that people wanted of Jesus at this particular time. Herod, I believe, hated him, you know, and he done killed John the Baptist, done cut off John the Baptist's head. So Jesus has got politics around him. He's got power around him. Amen. And then all of a sudden, you have some pressure. That's a good enough P word. There's some other pressure. I'm getting better in my home a little bit. There's some pressure evolved. And the pressure comes from the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen? So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, boy, they done had about all of him they can stand.
Right.
And they're looking for a way to get rid of him. And Herod is saying, well, this man's posing a threat to me, to my power, and I'm looking for a way to get rid of him. And the political crowd was willing to sacrifice him as a scapegoat to get the ends to what they want. Yeah. But then there was this other P word, and I'm making this one up, just people. Masses of people. And they really liked Jesus in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, they didn't like him no more.
Yeah.
And whenever he began to preach the word in John 6 and said, you got to eat of my flesh and you got a drink of my blood, then the Bible says one of the greatest church splits that ever happened at that particular time, many of them walk with him no more. Amen. And I know that he calls on Peter, and I know he asked that question, and you know he asked that question, you know. But are you also going to go away? Yeah. And Peter said, ain't no other place to go. We're here with you. Amen. Amen. And so the masses begin to depart, and now they're raising their hands against Jesus. Right. So pastors, amen, and preachers, huh? And people today, let me tell you something. I don't think that we've ever suffered what Jesus suffered in the little time that he walked the face of this earth. Politically, they were after him. The power was after him. The masses, common masses of the people were after him. And the religious crowd was after him. I'm glad we got a place to come to get away from the power. To get away from the political things like that is going on today in Baltimore. Amen. To get away from those things and to come under the house of God and the presence of God and to know that there's something on the inside that's stirring us. Amen. And drawing us closer to a man named Jesus Christ. I'm glad that there's a purpose for us to be here today. I'm glad that somebody's going to pass by this morning. Amen. Yeah, amen. I'm glad that he's on his way to help somebody. Yeah. Amen. And nobody else really knows about it, but he knows who he's going to visit. Amen. Right. He's on his way. Amen. 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 I believe that he sought peace and he sought solidarity. I believe he wanted to be alone. I believe there was time in his life where he and his disciples needed to get together because he didn't have long and he needed to tell his disciples what was going on and teach them because he needed to arm them with some things they would need one day. It was getting about that time. And he sought, kind of like Elijah sought, a little rest at the widow Zarephath's house. He needed somebody to some place to lay low, some place to get out from the crowd, to get out from the pressure, you know, and to teach his disciples. He's tried. He's went into the mountains, and they'd follow him to the foot of the mountains and wait for him to come down. He'd been across Galilee, and once he get on the other side in Galilee, there'd be a crowd there. Amen. I mean, there was no place that he could go that people didn't find him. So I believe that amongst all of this, Jesus was seeking a little time alone. However, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It don't make no difference where we're going to go. There's always going to be people. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And he knew that, and he knew who he was going to run into. But he did seek a little seclusion. And he's in a Gentile territory. He's in a place here of a Syrophoenician woman, a Syrian woman. He's in a place where that's not near what he came out of. There's the politics is not there. The power is not there. The press is not there. All of that. The scribes and Pharisees, they'll find him, but they ain't there yet. All right. He sought this seclusion. But yet, even the people, the masses of the people that he left that used to be common folks are saying things about him that he's saying things that are not so Jewish. You ever get to a place or get somewhere where somebody says, you're saying things that's not so Baptist?
That's right.
Well, that might be a good thing nowadays. Amen?
That's right.
Now, we can't say things that are not biblical.
That's right.
But I believe today Baptists are saying things that's not so biblical.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so therefore, when you start preaching and when you start teaching those things that are not of the Baptist tradition, sometimes they look at you and they say, you're saying things that are not so Baptist.
Right.
And I say, amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So Jesus had heard that and he's on his way. And as we begin to look at this, And to kind of break it down, we also want to remember that Jesus saved an old Samaritan woman at the well. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, she was a Gentile. And the centurion servant, and the centurion, I mean, was a Gentile. And so, listen, Jesus' ministry is still at this point to Israel, but yet he did not decline from saving Gentiles. I'm glad he didn't decline. Amen. I'm glad he stopped by the well. Amen. I'm glad that he had time for the centurion, huh? I'm glad he had time for the woman who had the issue of blood. Amen.
Right, right, right.
I'm glad that when there's a place and a time and a purpose there, that Jesus always seems to meet the need at the time.
Amen. Amen.
Hmm. Well, read with me. I'm not through with my scripture just yet, so I can't hardly just break loose and preach just yet. Look at 4:24. I just want to share this with you. Matthew 4:24. Bible says in Matthew 4:24 that his fame went throughout all Syria. This is somewhere where he's at right now. And they brought unto him sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of the people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So the people knew about it. There was this bunch of people that knew about it. Now look at Mark chapter number 3. He wasn't just a stranger. They had heard. She had heard of him, my Bible says. Mark chapter 3, verse number 8 says, and from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from among Jordan, they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did what? Came to him.
Yeah.
They were coming down from out of the mountains of modern-day Lebanon, Tyre and Sidon. And when they had heard about the things that Jesus is doing, they came in bunches.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it whenever the woman there at the well went back to the city to tell them, you know, about what, come see a man that told me all things, that there was a crowd that went out there and followed her out there and said these great words. Listen, now we just don't believe because of your testimony. Now we ourselves have seen and we know that this is the Messiah.
Amen.
Isn't that something? But it started with a testimony.
That's right.
Amen. So bunches of people have already come out of Tyre and Sidon. Bunches of people have already heard. They've already brought diseases and people that were lunatics and people that were hard cases, and Jesus healed them all. I like that. Think about it. Go to Matthew in chapter number 11. We're going to wear the M's out. If you go to Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 21, the Bible says this, verse number 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida.
Yeah.
For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented.
Right.
They would have repented. Y'all religious. If I'd have went up there and preached to a bunch of people that didn't have religion, amen,
yeah.
And preached to a bunch of people that were blinded and had their eyes on everything else but me, they would have repented a long time ago.
That's right. Right.
Amen. Now this is the woman. This is the place where she's come from. This is where Jesus is at right now. This is a place where he, you know, you could say might be seeking a little bit of rest. But he's like a bottle of perfume. I mean, he kind of gives himself away as he's journeying up into the mountain and through the, you know, down one valley and through the other one. They smell him coming. Amen.
I mean, they know that that he's there when they see him. They know that there's something different about him. He's got a little clan with him. He's got his disciples with him, I read or have read in the text there. Amen. But these folks are not bound by their religion. These folks have not closed up their hearts. Jesus comes to people that have open hearts. And he's the one who opens their hearts. Amen. So if your heart's been open, my goodness, let's shout a little while this morning. Amen. Listen, if he's visited you, amen, let's just praise him this morning. Amen. Let's give him a little bit of glory. Amen. Just for a little touch, because some out there's hearts has not even been opened. Amen. Some hadn't even heard the word of God. Some can't hear. Some can't see. And the heart's not open. God done open up some of you's hearts. Amen. Done journeyed into the hill wood. Amen. Done journeyed into the Lebanon. Done journeyed into the Tyre and Sidon. And has opened up your heart. And is on a journey. And is on his way to your house. Praise God.
Amen.
Ain't that good? Do you only see him coming? Amen. Well, he didn't like being bound up by religion. He's on his way to where people who is seeking a truth. You know what that woman said? Truth, Lord. He's ready for some truth, Lord. Instead of having to deal with pride, amen, he's looking for humility. Amen. Instead of dealing with religion, he's dealing with truth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what is going to be refreshing to him. And he gets up there and he says, oh my goodness, y'all don't think, hey, this is refreshing to me. You get in a region where he's outside the politics and the power and the pressure of the religious crowd and all this, and you get to come to a place where you can just kind of kick it back, amen, and say, hey, y'all know the God I know, huh? And God is, and God's been good.
Amen.
Huh? Boy, it's good to get around folks who've been saved, amen, because they're the testimony. And he's on a retreat, amen. He's done gone up into the mountains and he's on a retreat. And I'll just go ahead and mention this right here because I got to thinking about it. When she got to crying out, that word crying means to scream. I mean, that one there, I'm pretty sure I looked it up. I believe I'm right on that. Even if not, a cry is a cry. And a cry ain't a, I'm talking about, she's like blind Bartimaeus. She crying out. And there's hindrances all over the place. And even his own disciples are saying, shut him up. That's what they're saying to him, her. Yeah. Shut her up.
Yeah, that's right.
And it made me think this, that when Jesus didn't speak a word, y'all, if I just shut up for about 5 minutes, y'all would go, some of y'all would get uneasy.
That's exactly right. You can do it for a minute. Yeah.
He's lost his way. Sometimes when I get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'll just sit there and do this. And I can feel them looking at me. And so I'll respond. I'll say, I'm just making sure this is what God wants me to do. I'll be with y'all in a minute. But it makes people all uneasy because that silence. I believe Jesus was just silent for a while. And bless her heart. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, bless her heart. She came and she didn't know a whole lot and she didn't have a whole lot of content, but she knew one thing. Her gods wasn't answering her prayer.
That's right.
Amen. And she, like the woman with the issue of blood, she done went through a lot and she had come, and I believe she had come with the right attitude. I believe that she'd come reverencing the Lord. I believe that she came worshiping the Lord. And that, listen, she had the right beatitude.
That's right.
Amen. She was hungering and thirsting after, well, righteousness. She was. Well, she was hungering and thirsting to heal her daughter, but the Lord tested her out, and
that's right.
And she was found positive for salvation.
Amen.
Because she became a believer.
Amen.
She became a believer that day. I believe her daughter became a believer later on. Just because God gives a lot of them promises. One gets saved in the house, a whole bunch get saved. Cornelius' whole bunch got saved, and that was later. That's why he told her, he said, now listen, honey, I ain't come to the, to the dogs yet. I'm coming to the dogs. It's later on down. But while I'm here, I'm going to save a few dogs. Amen. How'd you like to be called a dog? How'd you like to somebody, if one thing makes me mad, it's when I ask somebody a question and they don't give me an answer to it. Or they look at me like, did somebody just say something? I do that a lot in the school. Kids, I done told you five times, I ain't telling you again. And I can tell it runs over them and makes them mad. I won't tell them again either. I need one of them tape recorders where I can just say, I said that a while ago, I said that a while ago, I said that a while ago, and just keep putting play. You know what I'm talking about? They hear what they want to hear. Adults hear what they want to hear. But if there's one thing makes me mad, is when I try me now, I don't have no problem turning y'all off, but when I want to hear something, I want an answer. Amen. And if she didn't get the answer, God, listen, she came to Jesus. She came the way that I think humble, meek, and mild, and yet he gave her the cold shoulder. Wow. You're talking about a barrier. I said a while ago that goes against any kind of soul winning technique.
That's right.
Well, you see, what you got to do is you got to get somebody crying and weeping and begging God to save them. And they start asking you questions and you just turn around and ignore them. That's in every soul winning book. Amen. No, it's not. But Jesus, that's exactly what he did. You know why? He's tired of the shallowness. He's tired of the religion that he'd come out of. He's tired of all the super, the stuff on the top, amen? The stuff that poses itself like a real. He wants some real. He want, you know what he want to see right here? I want to see some real repentance.
Amen.
I'm going to show my disciples some real repentance right here. They'll come, and somebody came up to me the other day, three Sundays ago, and they said, Brother Billy, I got saved, and I want to be baptized. And so I stood back up in front of the church, and I told them, I said, I'm not going to baptize her until she shows and brings fruit, meat for repentance. Amen. Amen. No, I wasn't very popular that day. Amen. But you know, most of the crowd didn't have a whole lot of trouble with it because she'd been in and out of jail, and also she's poor. I like it that she was poor. Amen. But I still say this, we fixing to test her out a little while. Amen. And had another come in and she's pregnant. And she wanted to join the church. And I asked her about her salvation. And she couldn't tell me hardly anything about it. And so I said, I'll tell you what you do. You come back about 8, 9, 10, 15, 48, 900 times and listen and get under the sound of the Word of God, the preached Word of God, and be faithful. And then if you're real, you'll stick, and I'll baptize you. Ain't got no problem with it.
That's right.
Amen. Well, the one 3 weeks ago, she gone.
Yeah.
Ain't seen her.
But
the one that I'm talking about right there, she's still there. Amen. She ain't rich either. Folks, Jesus want to see something real. He wants to demonstrate what's real. New Hope Baptist Church needs to stand for what's real. Amen. So that when somebody meets somebody that's real, they say, listen, I'm being stirred by just being around that person.
Amen.
Well, that's the real kind, ain't it? I just kind of get stirred up just by being in the presence of them. Boy, God will use you like that. Don't think you got to be a preacher. God will use you like that. just as an individual, just as a kid, just as a teenager, just as a young adult. Amen. God will use you. I'm tired of shallowness. I'm tired of politics. I'm tired of power. I'm tired of religion and all that goes around it down there in Galilee. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick to my stomach of it. I need something real. I need to see some real repentance from somebody that knows there's a real God and that God is. Amen. This is Jesus. So the disciples, after they go through the quiet spell, they begin to holler out at Jesus, "Shut this woman up. She is ruining our retreat. We can't get any rest. Do you know if she keeps hollering like that, that she's going to draw people? And if she draws people, then we sure enough not going to get any rest." Hush them up. Hush them up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. She didn't hush up. And when you get what this woman gets, you can't hush up. Amen. You're going to press through the crowd. Amen. You're going to press through. Hey, you're going to climb a sycamore tree. Amen. You get rid of the hindrances. You get rid of the housetops. Amen. And get lowered down in there. Amen. If there's any barriers, if there's any hindrances, you'll press forward. Amen. You'll press. I don't know about you, but I believe this woman had her face stuck in the narrow gate. She's on the narrow way, and she wants to get through the narrow gate, and she ain't going to be satisfied unless she gets through it.
Amen.
She's read Matthew 7. Amen. She knows about two ways. She knows about the broad way. She ain't really read it, but you know what I'm talking about. She ain't going to be satisfied. I mean, she really got the right beatitude. I'm just going to go back and say that. She got some things against her. She's a woman. I don't mean that, no pun intended. First of all, that's a weaker vessel. And Jews didn't look at them the way, you know what I'm talking about. But she wasn't only just a woman, she was a Canaanite woman. They supposed to be extinct. Y'all know they supposed to be extinct. Should have been wiped out from the get-go. But they wasn't. So you talking about a Samaritan woman, they didn't like them. They sure enough don't like Canaanite women either. You know. And that's what the disciples are probably thinking in their religious minds. She had some of that to overcome. She was from Syria, or she was a Syrophoenician. In other words, she didn't have the right, did she? She didn't have the privilege, did she? Folks, I know without a doubt, she realized she didn't have the right. I believe she realized she didn't have the privilege. And I realize something today, that's a lot of our problems. We think we got the right.
Yeah.
We think we ought to have the privilege.
That's right. Right.
But we don't realize this. Salvation comes when you realize God has to give mercy. Mercy.
Amen.
You want to cry out for something? You cry out for mercy. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you cry out for mercy and God meets that mercy cry, then you're a saved man.
That's right.
You're a saved woman. When you cry out for mercy, you say, "I can do it vocally." No, your heart cries out. You don't even got to utter nothing. God already sees what you're uttering. And He knows you're saying, "Mercy, mercy, mercy." You say, wait a minute. Now there's got to be repentance in there. That is. That is repentance.
That's right.
You're crying out for mercy. Amen. You realize that you don't belong. You realize that you don't deserve heaven. And you just cry out for mercy.
Amen. Right.
You say, wait a minute. Mercy now. Okay, repentance now. Mercy. And faith comes somewhere, right? Yeah. Like two handles on a plow. Like a Siamese twins. They go together. Amen.
mercy, faith, repentance. Hey, when God works it, He works it. He does it. Amen. He brings it together.
Amen.
He brought it together here pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
After she realized she didn't deserve it. She's unsatisfied with her gods. I wonder if you are today. She had so little faith, so little content, so little. But she had great faith. She had mega faith. She had such little faith that became mega faith. But I'm going to tell you something. She had this faith because she was properly directed to the right person. And the right person was Jesus Christ. And she cried unto Him. And there was repentance that was wrought. Amen. Turn to God from idols, like the first, that's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 9. Listen, that was an act of repentance when those people turned from their idols to serve a living God and to repent. That was repentance. This man, this woman was repenting because she had turned from who she was and her land and her nations and her gods. I like that. You see, because a true turning to the right person to be properly directed to Jesus Christ, but yet also requires a penitence attitude.
Yeah.
And she had that. She had that. She had that genuine faith. Amen.
Right.
She had that as man comes to God seeking that mercy. Amen. She was reverent. She didn't come. Listen, I listened to this the other day. There was there's a Christian song. I don't even know what the name of it is. Said, God, you my salt on my Fritos. I don't see it. That's not very reverent. This woman lived in the hills of Lebanon. Why in the world are you going to compare God to salt on Fritos? It ain't, they ain't got, they're not that good anyhow. I mean, I like a Frito, but they don't compare to God.
That's right.
Reverence. And she says, Lord, sir, O Lord, O thou son of David, you're the king, you're the Messiah. You see, you start reverencing God and the ways of God and the attributes of God and the characteristics and traits of God. And you recognize who He is. I think it was A.W. Peake who wrote about the attributes of God. It might have been Philpott. Either way, both of them are good. They probably both of them did. I ain't talking about irreverence. I'm talking about reverencing God. Amen?
Right.
I'm talking about giving that reverence. And reverencing God is crying unto God and crying that and knowing that in the beginning God and just knowing that He's so much holier than I am. And I desire His mercy.
Yeah.
And without His mercy and without His grace, I'll never be saved.
That's right. Right.
She came with that kind of beatitude.
That's right.
And you say, well, what did she do? Well, let me say something else beside her repentance. She was persistent. I will give her that. How persistent are we? Continue. You got to press into the kingdom. So how persistent was she? Well, how persistent would you be when somebody just don't talk to you after you beg them, after you tell them this great thing that's going on in your family and you got a daughter that's vexed and they pay you no mind? I'll tuck tail and leave. And I'll never be back to that church again. Just might have bought you a ticket on into the hell of all hells. Huh? You see, because God's going to put you on a test sometime. Do you really want it?
Yeah.
Bring me meat. Bring me repentance. Show me that. And bring me something. Bring me some evidence.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to do it. He didn't want me. That church don't want me. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying bring me some fruit, meat for
that's
repentance.
Right.
Amen. Well, ho, ho, ho. Hey.
Don't say a word. This is my daughter. This is my little daughter. This is my child, like these little kids right here. This is my little girl right here. And she's demon possessed. And you don't want to give me an answer. She was persistent.
That's right. Got to be.
Because she did not just give in.
That's right.
She went on.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
She just kept on going. And with that silence there, and her screaming, and her disciples, his disciples, going against her. She had a lot against her.
That's right.
She had a lot of, she could have very well said, I quit. I'm packing it in. Because then Jesus said, hey. It ain't my purpose. This is not my purpose at this particular time in my ministry. You're not a Jew. You're not a sheep. Well, I'm not a sheep. I know I'm not. I'm not a sheep. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Syrophoenician. He just told me I wasn't the right kind of race.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And she could have given up there. Matter of fact, I would have probably. But she didn't. And then came she, now get this, and worshiped him. We'd already checked in at the modern church.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She came and fell down and put her face on the ground in the dirt and began to worship him.
Right.
Huh? Reverence him and worship him. Listen, persistent. Very persistent. But not only that, humbled. Amen. Bowed down, no pride. Worshiping. I like that. And he said this, which should have topped it off. Should have broke her persistency. He said, you just an old dog. I can't give what I give to my children. I can't give to you.
That's right.
And she came up with this. Still desiring him more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are some crumbs that fall off that table. Can I get a crumb?
Yeah.
Could I just get a crumb? I don't have to get everything all these people's got. I realize where I'm at. I see my position. I don't deserve any of it. But if I could just get a little crumb, that's all I'd want.
That's right.
If I could just touch the hem of his garment, that's all I want.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Boy, I will tell you something. A lot of times there's barriers and hindrances,
right,
and you just got to go in there and break up the party sometime,
right,
and let your hair down and wash the feet of Jesus.
That's right.
Even though that old Pharisee hadn't gave you any type of invitation whatsoever, and it's supposed to have been a private party, who cares?
Yeah, that's what you did.
Seek him.
Yeah.
And find him.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care if he'd been dead 4 days.
Yeah.
Jesus is putting you through a test.
That's right.
Huh? You going to let the Pharisees stand in your way?
Yeah.
With an invitation?
Oh, come on.
You know, VIP? Yeah. Huh? I don't even know what this stands for. But anyhow, I've seen. Huh? You going to let the Pharisees stand in your way? You going to let the naysayers stand in your way? Huh? You gonna let the religious world stand in your way? Huh? You gonna let the Jewish race stand in your way? Huh? You gonna let Herod stand in your way? Huh? Hey, listen. You gonna let the disciples stand in your way? Huh? You gonna let who you are stand in your way? Huh? And what kind of hindrance? What kind of barriers are you gonna get between you and him that you can't get there? I will tell you something. He's a bulldozer.
Amen.
He's a barrier breaker downer.
Amen.
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 He'll break your barriers down.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, what's the matter? What's the matter? What'd you say now, Andrew? I heard you. What'd you say? Speak up a little bit. What's these amongst so many?
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
What are you talking about? Those 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Uh-huh.
What are they among so many?
Uh-huh.
Come here, let me teach you something.
And he fed them.
That's right.
And he had 12, was it 12?
12
basketfuls. And them was Jewish people. And so God said, if I got so much compassion on you that I'll feed you and I'll keep you, I love you, I have compassion on you. He does. Boy, I want to tell you something. You don't think God loves you, I want you to know that he got compassion on you.
That's right.
He got compassion on Jewish people, but I could go on and preach another hour right here, because following Matthew 15, how many people are fed? Men. 4,000. How many baskets are took up? 7. Not symbolic of the number of disciples there, apostles, or whatever they say. Sometimes you can just typo that stuff to death.
Yep.
Not based on the religious hearsay that a Jew has a little bitty lunchbox, and Gentiles have big baskets full, a bigger lunchbox. So you only had 7, but yet they's piled up in there. They probably had more than the Jews had. All I'm trying to tell you this is when he feeds 4,000, that's women and just not women and children included, but just the men, that I'm pretty near sure that a lot of that crowd, well, I am sure, I did enough study to believe that that's a Gentile crowd he's feeding right there. Boy, he loves the Gentiles too.
Sure he does.
Sure he does. Amen. Boy, you don't think he loves you? Hey, he feeds you. He fed you just like he fed his own. Amen. He'll feed you just like he feeds me. Amen. He'll have compassion on you just like he's had compassion on everybody. You got to fight through the barriers. You got to fight through the hindrances. You got to continue. Or you never going to sup with him and eat at his table. Because there is a battle going on. And there is barriers. But boy, I tell you what. Be satisfied with a crumb.
Amen.
You know, this morning, just be satisfied with a crumb.
Amen. Thank God for the crumb. Yeah.
How about just.
Yeah.
I mean, I picture that little mouse, can't hardly even get it in his mouth, crumb. Be satisfied with a crumb. Because you don't deserve you don't even deserve that. Well, now wait just a minute. Now wait just a minute. I don't deserve. No, you don't. And that's your problem, because you really think you do. You see, you ain't got to where she's at.
Right.
And where she was at is she knows she didn't deserve any of it. But she begged for it. She besought it. She beseeched it. She wanted it. She desired it. She was persistent. She was humbled. And then Jesus, I wrote this down somewhere. Jesus spoke up and had to give in. Because when you come like that, it's a requirement to come. And when you come like that, being drawn by him, being worked on the way that he does his work, then he's going to have to say, come on in.
Amen.
He does. He says, come on in. For the foundation of the world, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd be
Amen.
Here. I predestined you to be here. You got a curse on you, you fell. And Lord, it took a lot to get your attention, but I knew it took a lot. But now my arms are open. Come. I've generated so great a faith. No, I hadn't seen so great a faith. No, not in Israel. No, I hadn't seen no greater faith. No, not in Tyre. No, not in Sidon. But you got some mega faith. It was produced by God. It was produced. It was tried. It was tried under. It was put under the fire. And it was real. I like that. Amen. And so let me just close and say this, what he said. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. Everybody wanting the wheel. There you go. What is your wheel?
Yeah, I got the wheel that I want to be saved. I got the wheel. Huh? Well, no, you didn't get the wheel, but it was produced in you.
Right.
Amen. He changed your wheel. Your wheel was you didn't want what you want.
That's
You wanted everything else. You wanted that over there to come in here. You want that medicine to work. You want that wasn't your wheel. But listen, it was God's hand that brought you to want His will.
That's exactly right.
I like that. I'm going to have to write that down. I don't have it down, but that's good. Amen. And her daughter was made whole.
That's right.
Yeah, that very hour. Boy, I just love that. You know, I've used this and preached this even here before, and I think about that centurion, and I think about it when he really believed, instantly. Servant was healed. And I believe when she